Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Flat Springs Baptist. We're so excited to see all of you here today. If you are a first-time visitor that is visiting with us, we just ask that you look in the pew in front of you, and there's a little visitor's card for you to fill out. If you'll just drop that in the offering plate as it comes by, we would greatly appreciate it. Just a few announcements for you. We hope that you'll join us tonight for the Children's Christmas program starting at 7 o'clock in here. It should be good, and the kids are going to be singing this morning, so we're excited to hear them. Instruments of Christ, please remember you will rehearse from 2 to 3:15 this afternoon, so parents, just be aware of that. This coming Wednesday, there will be a cantata rehearsal with youth, children, and adults at 6:30. So this coming Wednesday, put that on your calendar. WMU is asking for help in sponsoring a family from Deep River Elementary School. The mother was in a very bad accident, and she is currently in the burn center. But she will be getting out in time for Christmas. But what WMU is asking for is, if you feel led to donate Walmart gift cards, Food Line gift cards, gas gift cards, bring them to the office by next Sunday. So it is a quick turnaround, but we're trying to get it out to them so that we can help them before Christmas. And if you have paper goods that you would like to donate, there will be a collection box in the little kitchen that you can put your donations in there. So gift cards to the church office or to Stephanie Bridges, and then your paper goods to the little kitchen. If you do follow along in your bulletin, you will notice that it says responsive reading. Just kidding. We're not doing that. So just be aware, there's no responsive reading, so don't be frantic flipping through. And then also, as far as prayer concerns go, we just ask that you continue to look at the bulletin and pray for all of those who are in need. Now Johnny will come up for an announcement.
This comes from the Finance Committee. After a vote of the members in a regular business meeting this morning, we ask you to change two line items in your proposed budget. Under salaries and benefits, page 4, secretary part-time, be changed from $20,390 to $21,060, an increase of $670. Also, line item E9, miscellaneous, be changed from $4,884 to $4,214, a decrease of $670. We will vote on this proposed budget next Sunday at a call business meeting at 9:45.
Thank you.
boys and girls for that reminder. We certainly have some good news to tell about. Now let's say a prayer. Holy God, to be able to gather in your house for worship once again, we thank you. As we are preparing our hearts for the celebration of the birth of your Son, we thank you for the reminder that you sent us hope. Hope for our future and hope for today. Please help us to focus on that hope today as we worship. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
On the second Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of hope. Hope is often what helps us get up in the morning. I hope I feel better. I hope things go well today. We often greet people who have been struggling with the words, "I hope you are feeling better," or "I hope things are improving." Scientists tell us that one major ingredient in healing is hope.
The Christian message offers an even deeper meaning to hope. Today, we light the candle that represents the good news that gives the world hope. The good news that Christ has come gives us hope in spite of our circumstances. The good news gives us hope that no matter what we might be facing, we can make it. Because of Christ's advent into our history, our hope is really more expectancy. The battle for eternity has been won, and we proclaim a living hope that Christ is coming again. The good news gives us hope that God will help us, and with God's help, we can face whatever might come our way today and forever.
Today, because of the good news of Christmas, we light the second candle of Advent, the candle of hope.
Singing parts in a hymn, on the third verse, we're going to have a special accompaniment, so please sing unison on verse 3 of number 89, "O Come All Ye Faithful." Let's stand.
Thank you. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the gifts and blessings of love, joy, and peace. Dear Lord, may we share those with others through our words and actions, through our music, through our song. Please accept these tithes and these offerings to be used for thy will and service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We have another four carols to sing the first verse of, starting with number 93.
Thank you.
Well, good morning. Y'all all look so nice in your Christmas wear that you're, yes, that looks fabulous. I love that. So we're continuing our story from last week. And so we have Mary and Joseph up here with us and baby Jesus and the donkey they rode on. And then what's new this week? Who do we have? Yeah, an angel. And we have some sheep. So we're going to continue with this story that we started with last week. And we're going to see what they have to say, what's happening now, okay? It says, that same night, in amongst the other stars, suddenly a bright new star appeared. Of all the stars in the dark vaulted heavens, this one shone clearer. It blazed in the night and made the other stars look pale beside it. God put it there when his baby son was born, to be like a spotlight, shining on him, lighting up the darkness, showing people the way to him. You see, God was like a new daddy. He couldn't keep the good news to himself. He'd been waiting all those long years for this moment, and now he wanted to tell everyone. So he pulled out all the stops. He'd sent an angel to tell Mary the good news. He'd put a special star in the sky to show where his boy was. And now he was going to send a big choir of angels to sing his happy song to the world. He's here. He's come. Go and see him, my little boy. That night, some shepherds were out in the open fields, warming themselves by a campfire, when suddenly the sheep darted. They were frightened by something. The olive trees rustled. What was that? They turned around. Standing in front of them was a huge warrior of light, blazing in the darkness. Don't be afraid of me, the bright shining man said. I haven't come to hurt you. I've come to bring you happy news for everyone everywhere. Today in David's town in Bethlehem, God's son has been born. You can go and see him. He is sleeping in a manger. The shepherds stamped out their fire, left their sheep, raced down the grassy hill through the gates of Bethlehem, down the narrow cobble streets, through the courtyard, down some steep, steep, steep steps, past an inn, round a corner, through a hedge, until at last they reached a stable. They caught their breath. Then quietly they tiptoed inside. They knelt on the dirt floor. They had heard about this promised child, and now he was here. Heaven's son, the maker of the stars, a baby sleeping in his mother's arms. This baby would be like that bright star shining in the night, a light to light up the whole world, chasing away darkness, helping people to see. And the darker the night got, the brighter the star would shine. Okay, so this week we see that the shepherds came. They watch. What do they watch?
Sheep.
Sheep, that's right. And the angel came to tell the shepherds what?
The good news.
Yeah, the good news to go and see the baby boy in the manger. So that's what happened this week, and we're going to see what happens next week when y'all come back, okay?
Okay.
Let's say a prayer. God, I thank you so much for these boys and girls and for the good news that we have that comes with your son, Jesus. God, we thank you that he was born and that we get to celebrate that birth in just a couple of weeks. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
And in radio and TV terms, that was the tease. Come tonight to see the whole program. And I'll give you a hint, too. There's a burning question asked in the Instruments of Christ musical tonight. Did the shepherds need shades? Come tonight and find out. From Jeremiah, the first chapter. The Lord spoke his word to me before I formed you in the womb. I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart for my holy purpose. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. I, Jeremiah, said, Almighty Lord, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a boy. But the Lord said to me, Don't say that you were only a boy. You will go wherever I send you. You will say whatever I command you to say. Don't be afraid of the people. I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. The Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth.
Let's pray together. Oh Lord, put your words in our mouth. As we think of our children and what a blessing they are to us, we think of all those times you used youth like Jeremiah, David, and Goliath. Our Lord and Savior in the temple, and one little boy who carried his lunch, and the only one in a crowd of 5,000 to assist you in doing a miracle. Lord, help us to be useful. Help us as a congregation as we come at this moment in time, bombarded by a culture trying to define Christmas in dollars and cents. May we continue to define Christmas in our walk with you. And may we recognize how powerful when we worship you together. And when we worship you as a family. And when we worship you as an individual. The hope that flows from us. The hope from Bethlehem through Calvary into the United States all the way to Lee County. Heavenly Father, may we be bearers of the hope. May we be useful in your hands. It's in Jesus' name we ask.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, Instruments of Christ and Angel Choir. Always a little more added pressure on the sermon when the music is as good as it was today. But it was wonderful. Joy. How powerful. Open your Bibles with me to Luke's Gospel, the first chapter. While you're turning there, I will say a word. We had some discussion in the business meeting about the constitutional issues facing us with doing the budget. We feel like we are where we need to be with that correction that Johnny made in the published budget that we have in those two items. So we feel we have accomplished that as well. And please note that call business meeting next Sunday morning. Luke is an interesting character. More than likely a physician by trade, and he sees the world through, although ancient science, he sees it through science, the science of his day. And we believe he's also the author of the book of Acts, and some have even suggested, because of the way the book of Acts ends, that possibly there was going to be a third rendition that obviously the Holy Spirit did not need us to have. But we find the tremendous story of Christmas when we put Matthew and Luke together. And so today, we're going to go back a little before, as we are a little before Christmas, we're going to go back and we're going to read the story of the call of Zechariah and Elizabeth to be the parents of the forerunner of Christ, John. We call him the Baptist. If you're able to stand, let me invite you to do so as we read, beginning in verse 5 of Luke chapter 1, and we'll read through verse 25. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. I'll put a footnote. There were many divisions. They were divided into 8s and 24s, and each priest would serve twice a year for a week at a time in the way the temple was carried out. That'll become important as we go forward. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God. Remember that. Walking blamelessly, remember that, in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child. And then he gives a reason why. Because Elizabeth was barren, and both were now advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and to burn incense, a very specific task in the temple. Excuse me. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. I'm going to pause one more time in my lesson. It was customary after the burning of the hour of incense for the priest to come out and offer a blessing, a verbal blessing. He was supposed to say something. Remember that. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him. I think I went too far. Verse 11. And there appeared to him, to Zechariah, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy, and gladness. And many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled by the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. You may remember another story in our sacred text about him leaping when he comes into Mary's presence. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to their Lord and to their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered and said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them, and he remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months, she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among people." May God add his blessing to this sacred story. Would you pray with me? Speak to us through this unique set of circumstances. Challenge us where we need to be challenged. Encourage us where we need to be encouraged. And Lord, today, bring us hope. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. 2 weeks ago, we talked of giving in the very presence of hate. Last Sunday, we spoke of giving when we were horrified, as the shepherds were. And today, I want to talk about a faith that gives even when it seems hopeless. That's a desperate feeling, isn't it? Hopeless. You ever said, it's hopeless. It's never going to change. There's no way out. It can never be made right. It can never change. It's always going to be this way. It's hopeless. You don't know what happened. You can't get over things like that when they happen. It's hopeless. Well, maybe. Maybe not. This is one of those beautiful stories right in the midst of God's story. And I want us to look and ask ourselves, is there something we could do if we're feeling hopeless today to change that? Because what we do matters. I remember reading a story about a couple of construction workers that always ate together. And one day the fella came and he said, as he sat down, "A meatloaf sandwich. I had them all last week. I'm getting tired of meatloaf." The next day when they sat for lunch, he opened his lunch and he said, "Man, another meatloaf sandwich. I'm sick and tired of meatloaf." The next day when he came to eat, he opened his lunch and, "Don't get ahead of me, but you're right." And he said,
Not another meatloaf sandwich. I can't stand it. To which his eating partner finally said, why don't you tell your wife you're tired of eating meatloaf? To which he replied, oh, I'm not married. I fix my lunch every morning. Sometimes we may need to change some things to bring us hope, to adjust our situation. The story of Zechariah and Elizabeth reminds us of that story between Abraham and Sarah. You remember that story. You realize that both Sarah and Elizabeth were beyond the age of being able to conceive. And yet their miraculous birth, and God often used miraculous birth. You remember the story of Rachel, who was barren and yet she conceived? You remember Samson's mother, who couldn't conceive because she was barren, the scriptures say. And she went to the temple and prayed and said, I'll give the child to God in his service. And she then conceived. And in this story that we have today, well, both Isaac and John the Baptist, the births of those two miraculous senior adult births, remind us that what's impossible with God, with man, is possible with God. Maybe today there's something impossible in your world. There's a challenge that you have that maybe nobody in the building knows about but you and God. But I want to tell you that we can continue to exercise our faith when it's hopeless or when we feel hopeless. I think there's some truths there that might help us to remember and to move forward into our future and overcome the power of hopelessness. The first is to remember we were chosen, we were selected by God. Now, I remember when I was a young boy, I was kind of big, and I thought myself to be athletic. Not everybody thought I was, but I thought I was. And I remember when we played football, I was always chosen right at the top. I mean, I was like, you know, like the third one on a bad day. And sometimes I was the first one chosen. But when it came to basketball, well, I don't know if you've ever been the last one chosen. You ever been there? You know, you're out there and you're playing and you're choosing up teams. I'll take him. I'll take him. And then they're saying, yeah, I'll take Gary. You know, and it's like, man. But I played anyway. Being chosen is special, isn't it? Being chosen is a special place. And what we find here in this unique story is God chose Zechariah in a series of events to make him chosen. And we'll look at those for just a moment. It's interesting to know that this moment when Zechariah would come to serve in the temple, because, you know, these births are kind of connected here. The birth that Elizabeth's going to give and the birth that Mary's going to give. John's got to get here a little before, and it's an interesting connection that God works it all the way back several months before when Zechariah's time comes. And they cast lots, it says, to find him. It's a term called cleromancia. Cleromancia, a word you probably haven't used very often. You might want to put it in your crossword puzzle word. It's the word that was used in the Old Testament. 70 times in the Old Testament, they use cleromancy. They cast lots to determine what God's will was. You may remember in Acts, after the death of Judas Iscariot, there were two main people they thought might serve as apostles, and they couldn't figure out which one it was, and so they cast lots to determine who would be the next apostle. It was intended to determine God's will. Now, here's what I want us to understand this morning. You and I have been selected by God, as certainly as Zechariah was selected and Elizabeth was selected, in order that they might fulfill his plan. There's a plan in your home. There's a plan in your community. There's a plan at your workplace or at the school, the class that you attend. God has a plan. And folks, God wants you and me to be a part. He's chosen us to be instruments of that plan coming to fruition. God chose Zechariah to be in the midst of the temple, in the spirit of burning the incense by the altar. That was a holy assignment. It was a place where the revelations had come. But may I mention to you that there had been no recorded revelation of God in the Old Testament to this moment for 400 years. 400 years. Our nation is not quite 300 years old. Can you imagine there being no word from God through a prophet? No word from the temple? No word of this kind of the way God had operated in the Old Testament? I used the word last week, theophany. No presence of God coming in a miraculous way. And it seems like there'd be a crowd of people that would gather outside the temple because they knew that the person that was going to get the revelation was the one burning the incense. And they were ready to hear. And it says in our text that even though he didn't say a word, they knew something had happened. God had brought a word. God wants to bring a word. Maybe it's been a long time at your work or at your classroom. Maybe it's been a long time in your community. Maybe it's been a long time in your home since God brought a word. But God desires to bring a word, and we cannot disconnect worship and God's word. We cannot disconnect that God most often speaks in the midst of worship. Baptists, by our congregational style of understanding, have always in our liturgy, and you have to use that word lightly for Baptists, by the way, but in our liturgy, we've always decided that the focal point was on the Word of God. It would be on the message. In other traditions, it's on communion. There are churches that have communion every Sunday. They celebrate the communion every Sunday because they think that's the primary. But Baptists have always said, we think when we open God's Word and we hear from God's Word, that that's where God's going to speak. That's why we do it every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday. We come longing to hear a Word of God, but maybe we're like that construction worker and those meatloaf sandwiches. Maybe we need to change how we come. Maybe we need to do some change before we get here, that we'll be prepared to hear what God has new. I think the idea of coming to hear God is important. It's the way God designed it. It's the way God set it up. And even through the New Testament and even through the church, it's still His desire. I also believe there's another powerful lesson that we need to take most seriously. It's how He did it. Gabriel. You remember Gabriel, that chief angel Gabriel? He comes, and the word angel is the word that comes from the root evangel. We get the word evangelical from that word. And do you know what that word means, evangel? It means message, messenger, the bearer of good news. In fact, he says to Zechariah, I've come to bring you good news. In a real sense, you and I, we are angels. Some of you are looking around right now. Really? They're angels? We are. In the sense of the word, that we're messengers. We're to carry the message that God has presented to us. Why do we celebrate this story? Why do we sing these carols every year? Why do we come back at Christmas and celebrate and read this sacred story? And why do I preach from it almost every year? Because it is the message of good news. It is indeed our hope and the thing that changes us. And it is what our world needs. Secondly, if you're feeling hopeless, there's a great lesson from Zechariah and Elizabeth. The Bible says they were righteous, they were upright, and they were blameless. It was a terrible situation in his day and time for Zechariah not to have an heir, not to have a son. Ladies, forgive me for what I'm going to say, But I'm just going to tell you what they thought, not what I think, what they thought. I am the proud father of three daughters, proud of my daughters, okay? But if you didn't have a son, you didn't have an heir. Not only did Zachariah and Elizabeth not have a son, they didn't have a child. It would have been an easy time for them to become bitter. Zachariah may have at some point prayed a prayer, God, here I am a priest. What in the world's going on? Why have you given me a wife that cannot bear? Elizabeth may have prayed, Lord, I'm doing everything right. I'm following you. I'm trying to do right. You ever felt that way? God, I'm trying to be the best dad I can be, the best mom, the best husband, the best wife, the best neighbor. And it's just hopeless. It's going wrong. And in the midst of what we would say they had to feel hopeless, they continued to be upright and blameless and righteous before God. Instead of taking offense, they remain faithful. You want to battle hopelessness? Remain faithful. Become more faithful. The more hopeless you feel, become that much more faithful to see what God can say and God can do. Now, it's very interesting to me that it says in verse 13, Gabriel starts this conversation saying, your prayers have been answered. Now, think about this for a moment. And I'm going to give you one theological understanding of the way it could have been. To pray for a son could have been to pray for the son of Israel, to pray for the Messiah, to pray for the one that Israel so desperately longed to have come, to have the one. So he could have been praying for a son of David. But the Gabriel said, your prayers have come before God, your prayers for a son. Here's what I believe. I believe probably maybe when Elizabeth was 20 and she did not conceive, they probably prayed, Lord, we need a child. When she got to be 30, they probably prayed, Lord, we need a child. When she got to be 40, they probably prayed more often, Lord, time's running out. We need a child. When she got to be 50 and 60 and 70, I don't know how old she was. I think there had to be a time they quit praying that prayer. I wonder, just for a moment, think back and let the Holy Spirit guide us. Is there a prayer you prayed once before that maybe you've quit praying? And Gabriel said, God's remembered your prayers. Isn't that good to know? God remembers our prayers. Wasn't how Zachariah saw it. It wasn't how he understood it. It wasn't what he was expecting. Had to be prayers long ago. But if we really pray correctly, how do we pray? God, your will be done, right? Right? Isn't that the right way to pray? God, your will to be done. Your will to be accomplished in my actions, in my thoughts, in everything that I am. God, this is what I see I need, but I'm praying for your will to be done. He must have given up on that prayer, but still, God didn't give up on it. God knew the timing. God still knows the timing. Maybe hopelessness is just when we're more focused on our timing than God's timing. Maybe we need to focus on God's timing. Finally, this morning, not only do we find that he was selected by God, service to God, but he became silent before God. Sometimes when you feel hopelessness, the best thing you can do is be quiet. Sometimes when you don't understand and you've prayed everything you know to pray and you've emptied yourself at the altar, may I ask us, when's the last time we emptied ourselves at God's altar? If you're feeling hopeless today, then maybe it's time after you've done your service to be silent. In verse 20, we find this silence before God. In fact, you can keep reading, they were signing to him. Some have said not only to become unable to speak or mute, he also became deaf. It's as though God put him in a silent world in the midst of the world. It's as though God put him in a place where he could still see and experience, but suddenly, because of this life-changing worship announcement, he could no longer speak, he could no longer hear the things of this world. I think there's some things we need to stop hearing. Amen. I think there's some things in this world we need to stop hearing. I think there's some things we need to stop saying. We might need to learn from Zechariah's silence. I want to quickly mention that doubt never negates our faith. The blessing was because he was upright, because he was righteous, because he was blameless. But his doubt came in. How in the world could this be? You can't blame Zechariah for at least asking the question, Gabriel, thank you for that word, but how in the world can that happen? But God said, it will happen. You prayed the right prayer. You sought my will. My will be accomplished even in your doubts. But to remind you, I'll help you be quiet. God, help us be quiet. I wonder sometimes if I don't need to walk out of this sanctuary, sometimes muted. Sometimes unable to hear all that is going on around me, because if I'm not careful, I will allow it to influence me. For almost a year, Zechariah was unable to hear or unable to speak. I wonder today, if in our presence with God, because I just have a guess, and that's all it is, in that time of being unable to speak, unable to hear, I'm going to bet Zechariah grew closer and closer to God. Oh, I would have thought it might have been called off when she got pregnant. When Elizabeth came in and said, Zach, guess what? Guess what? But no, it wasn't until the baby was born. And that's where we find maybe he couldn't hear, because they were making signs and he said, bring me. And he wrote down his name in obedience. His name is John. His name is John. One crying in the wilderness. One who took a Nazarite vow. Go read Samson. Same kind of thing. And who said, repent. Oh, I think Zechariah gave that young boy some great lessons growing up. Because in his hopeless condition, God made a way. I believe God wants to do that for us this Christmas. Stay faithful. A giving faith in the midst of hopelessness is just a blank canvas upon which God can do some of his finest painting. Let's be that canvas in his presence. Remember, he's chosen us. Remember to serve him. And find a way to be silent before him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, let's pray together. Lord, we're here and we wonder what you might be saying in such a moment as this. Maybe there's someone here today that has smiled and hugged everybody's neck or shake every hand, and they look like everything's together. But there is a strong sense of hopelessness. Lord, I just believe your word today has been cast out and it won't come back void. Maybe there's someone today who in this moment would step forward and say, I need help with hopelessness. And we would remember that great hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Heavenly Father, you know the need of every heart. You know the decisions that need to be made this day for you. May we be found faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Our closing carol this morning is page 76, O Come,
O come, Emmanuel. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for Him, you're invited to do so as we stand together. Tonight at 7 p.m., this is where you want to be. You heard just a little bit of what's going to be going on tonight. I hope you'll come back and make that a part of your Christmas tradition as well. I do also want to mention, just for you to start mulling, we mentioned this morning in our business meeting that we're going to be changing in January our security here at the church during this hour and the hour before. And that's going to involve some doors being locked and some specific doors that you can get in and get out of during Sunday school or worship. So I just want you to start thinking about that. If you come one day and say, well, I know they're all there, they've locked me out, they don't want me. That's not true. We do want you, but we do want to keep our place as safe as we possibly can. And I'm very sorry that we're in that kind of world, but we're in that kind of world, and so that's what we're going to be doing. We'll be giving you more information, but just be aware that there will be a change coming very soon. Again, tonight at 7 o'clock and afterwards a reception. I understand there might be a special guest who will be at that reception, so you might want to remember that as well. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in His power and in His abiding presence, that we might be His people of hope in the midst of His hopeless people. Would you pray with me? God, we leave this place reminded that You are a God of possibilities. Even if we feel things are impossible, we find great hope in that reality. Guide us from this place. In Jesus' name, amen.